Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. I want to speak to you today on Abraham, his sins, and his faith. Don't hear much about Abraham's sins, do you? He had some. Look at Genesis chapter 12. I'll read the first four verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for all the rich blessings you've given us. You are a mighty God that we serve. We thank the Lord that in your mercy, you loved us so much, you provided so great a salvation for us. Lord, we thank you for the purpose of your love and the accomplishment of your love. I pray, Father, for everyone here. You know every heart. I pray for every child of God. I pray that you would take us and touch us and draw us close to yourself and make us live more like you. Fill us with a joy and a peace in believing. I pray for every person in this room that is not saved, does not have the security of your great salvation. I pray, dear Lord, you'd touch their hearts and cause them, Lord, to believe upon you, trust you, and, Lord, be saved for all eternity. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I'll ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I just read you a very tremendous passage about one of the greatest men of all history. Abram, or as he was later known, as his name was changed by God, Abraham. Not just a father, but a father of many nations. That's what the change means. Now, Abraham's great. He is great to the Jew. He's the Hebrew. He is the one the Jews trace their descendants from. Abraham. Abraham's great also to the Muslims. Because, see, Ishmael was his first son, 13 years older than Isaac. And Ishmael traces his and all of the Muslims and all of the Arabs, they trace their heritage back to Abraham. And he's great among the Christians. Because Abraham is the father of all them that believe. You see, he believed and was counted righteous before he was ever circumcised. Before Ishmael was born. You talk about some wonderful, wonderful things. This is a very, very great man. And yet, you know, as I looked at the life of Abraham, and because I've read it many, many times, I love, there's so many things about Abraham's life that I love. I looked to notice that Abraham was a sinner just like you and me. Now notice in the first passage here, and I want to point out three ways that Abraham sinned, and sinned grievously, and then what it's based in. The very first verse says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto land that I will show thee. Now when you get down to verse 4, So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Did he obey the Lord? Yes, he did. But did he disobey the Lord? Yes, he did. You see, that first sentence right there says, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. He said, Leave Lot behind. You understand what that first verse says? You don't take Lot with you. You don't take your brother with you. You don't take your daddy with you. You get away from your nation, you get away from that country, you get away from your daddy, you get away from your kin. I'm going to pull you out and do something special with you. But you know, like a whole lot of us, you may have this problem sometime. It comes up for me as a preacher has over my life at different times, that if I'm going to preach something, it sometimes offends people in my own family. Now, if I'm going to obey God, I got to offend my family. If I don't offend my family, then I offend God. You understand the position you get into? Sometimes trying to do the will of God means you've got to hurt somebody close to you. You have to make some decisions that they don't understand and they don't like. And here's number one, Abram right at the present time. His name hasn't been changed yet. He's Abram. I have a hard time calling him that way. Abram says, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to leave my country and I'm going to go to the land that God has told me to go to. But he took Lot with him. Lot said, hey, Uncle Abraham, I want to go with you. I love you. I think you're the greatest. And man, I want to follow you. Wherever you go, I want to go. And he said, well, sure, Lot, come on. You know I love you. You know you're great in my eyes. You know that you're special to me. And Abraham left, and Lot went with him. You realize how much trouble Lot caused Abraham? Lot caused him an awful lot of trouble. Now, Lot was blessed as long as he was with Abraham. He was blessed. Lot became rich. Abraham's a rich man. We're not talking about some poor boy. We're talking about somebody that has an awful lot, and God tells him to get up and leave. Now, it's not so bad if you don't have a house, you don't have a car, you don't have a job, and they say, go to Seattle, Washington, and we'll give you a house and a car and job and make you great. Woo, yes, sir, I'll move tomorrow. But if you got a great big house and a real nice job, and you got a bunch of kids, and you got a great big family, and you got money in the bank, and everything's going good, and you're comfortable, and they say, I want you to move out in the desert of Arizona, you say, oh, no, wait a minute. You see, it took a great deal of faith for Abraham to say, okay, I'll go. But it was a lack of faith that didn't obey God. And he takes Lot with him. Lot gets rich. Lot goes down to Sodom. Sodom's conquered by some kings as they come across. Abraham had 318 trained soldiers that were his personal army. He took those 318 trained soldiers and went and conquered those five kings and brought Lot back. And then Lot, they had problems over, they had so much wealth, they had so many cattle, they had so many sheep, had so many things. They were all together and the land wasn't big enough for them. You can't put that many cattle. There's only so much grass. You can overgraze your land very quickly, even if you have a small lot, or if you own a great big ranch of 30,000 acres, you still have to be careful you don't put too many animals on it. So there's trouble between the family, between Lot and Abraham. So that caused him problems too. And then just think of what Abraham had to think the rest of his life when Lot is the father of his daughter's sons. What a shame. Well, I'll tell you what, he didn't do too well when he didn't obey God. But you know, there's something else about Abraham. Look at chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. There's a famine in Canaan. I mean, it's getting scarce. It's getting hard to eat. Abraham said, well, I'll tell you what, there's plenty of food in Egypt. Boy, that Nile Delta went along and they would spread out and raise great crops year after year after year. Egypt was a tremendous place. We'll go down there and eat. But he said, Sarah, I'm going to call her Sarah because I have a hard time saying Sarai, you know. She gets her name changed too. Sarah, you are a beautiful woman. Now, Abraham's 75, Sarah is 65. You see any 65-year-old women being taken into harems lately? Huh? It's one special woman, I want you to know. Woo! She's a knockout. He said, I know you are so beautiful that they'll want to kill me to get you. If they know I'm your husband, if they kill me, then they can take you. Look, Sarah, do me a favor. You are my half-sister. See, she was the daughter of his father by another mother. So she was his half-sister. And they'd been married for numbers of years. He said, say you are my sister. So they head down to Egypt. And sure enough, all the princes of the Pharaoh get to looking around. They're looking for all the beautiful women around they can take into the harem for Pharaoh. And sure enough, they see Sarah, this 65-year-old woman. And they say, whoo, Pharaoh, you'd like this one. She is a fair woman to look upon. And they take her into his harem. I wonder how Abraham slept that night. I wonder what Sarah thought when she actually was taken, said, I'm his sister, and taken into the household of the king of Egypt. You sure get yourself in a mess, can't you? Got a little bit of fear? Here's great big Abraham, strong Abraham, faithful Abraham, powerful Abraham. Say you're my sister. I'm afraid of these guys. Say you're my sister. Now I'll tell you something. We talk about him having faith, but that's a lack of faith. That's not trusting God to take care of you. That's not trusting God to deliver you. That's not trusting God to protect you. And you know what? God is sort of put on a spot. Did you know that Sarah at 90 years old is going to bear a son named Isaac? And did you know Jesus Christ is going to come through Isaac? You're messing with the line of the seed. You're messing with the heritage of Jesus Christ. The devil is coming in and tempting Abraham and putting fear in his heart saying, if you tell them she's your wife, they'll kill you to get her. And he threw his own fear and, man, that's a shame. You know, that's shameful. Wouldn't you think it today? Wouldn't you think that'd be shameful? To me, that's shameful. Well, God brings down the Egyptian Pharaoh with fear and he calls him up and says, what'd you do this to me for? How come you told me that she was your sister? I thought she was your sister and I haven't touched her, but that's what I thought. And why, you could get me in real trouble. And he gave him big gifts and he rebuked him and sent him out of the land. Well, I want you to look at another verse, chapter 20. Now, this is a long time later. We were just in chapter 12. Time passes a long time in Genesis. Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwell between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. And God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. He did it again. He didn't learn his lesson down in Egypt. Looked like he'd have been embarrassed. I'll never do that again. I know what my wife would have done if she'd have shot me. I don't have any doubts about her. I have to stay real careful and real clear. She's mean. You just don't know how tough she is. If I embarrassed her like it, oh no, she's not my wife. She's my sister. Katie bar the door. Sarah went in and she is now in the house of another king. Years later, Abraham is still fearful for his life. He's got him a plan to deceive. He's telling a half-truth to get out of telling the truth because he fears for his life. Can you imagine? I can't imagine some of you doing that, much less Abraham. You know what his problem was? He didn't believe and trust God. The greatest man for trusting God. This man that was from out of nowhere, God speaks to him and tells him, leave the land of your idolatry and go to a land I'll give you. I will bless you. I will bless nations through you. You will be a blessing. Just trust me. And we know the story of how much he trusted God. And yet when we look back at his failure and we look back at his sin, what is but a lack of trust? Is it any wonder that you who believe have fear and failure because of a lack of trust? If this great man of faith, great man of faith as he was, could be so fearful that he'd make a stupid statement at work or a stupid statement out in the society or pull some foolish stunt like that, is it any wonder that we would do some of the stupid things we do? Let me tell you something. A born-again Christian can commit any sin that any lost man can commit. It's a shame when we do it, but you can do it. And you can have great faith today and tomorrow be walking and trembling in fear. Now that's a shame. Now let's look at the faith of Abraham. Go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 again. I want you to notice something. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And verse 4 says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. How much faith do you have? Will you trust God? Will you trust the Word of God? You know, one of the problems with many Christians today is we don't trust God's Word. We don't believe. We don't really think God can protect us. But here's Abraham with all that he has. He makes a mistake. He takes Lot with him. It says Lot went with him. But you know what he says? He departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That was by faith. He didn't have a long background. By the way, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't even have the book of Genesis. He didn't even have the book of Lot. He didn't have any Bible. He took by faith what God spoke to him, and he got up and he left by grace. Let me tell you something. We need to get up and move when God tells us to get up and move. Abraham moved. He moved. He got up. God said, get away from them and depart from your land. And he did. He failed in a little area. He brought something along that caused him some problem. But by the grace of God, he departed. Look at chapter 13 in verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take to the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. He's brought Lot along with him, caused him an awful lot of trouble, and they're having troubles right now. They're both very, very rich people. Having trouble staying together. Their servants and workmen have a jealousy and a problem together. And so Abraham comes to Lot and he says, separate thyself from me. He's finally doing what God told him to do way back there in Ur of the Chaldees. Separate thyself from me. Well, doesn't Abraham have the right to choose? He's the older. He's got the rights of the elder. He's the richest man. He's the man of faith. He's the man God led. But he doesn't take that. He tells Lot, I tell you what, Lot, you see all this land before you? Pick what you want. Now that takes faith. You know why? You trust in God going to take care of you. That's a lot more faith than he had when he was talking about his wife. He said, Lot, take your pick. And Lot looked down there and he saw that well-watered valley down there by Sodom. And he said, whoo, that looks like good land. Man, that's good land. I think I'll take that land. And so he said, how about me taking that good land down there? And Abraham said, fine, that's yours. I'm going to go the other direction. Can you trust God? Can you trust God? You know, we make a lot of fights over things. I've heard of people fighting over somebody dies and they're worried about who gets the house or who gets the guns or who gets the land or who gets whatever. And we get into all sorts of fights and the family divides and splits and there's anger and hurt for years. We get into a business and somebody cheats us and every once in a while you go visit Miss Bell, and she generally keeps her TV on Channel 5. And they got a lady called Judge Judy. They pay about $7.5 million a year to put on some things on TV. And some of these people are suing their own family for $137. You couldn't pay me $137 to look that stupid. I look stupid enough on my own. You couldn't pay me to get on. Give them the 137. Are you so broke? Come on, man. You're going to split a family over $500? $1,000? Your brother doesn't mean any more to you than that. Your mother, your daddy doesn't mean any more to you than that.
Amen.
Good night. Give it to them. They want to cheat you. Let them cheat you. And this next time, don't trade with them anymore. My daddy had a saying. He said, he gave me a wooden nickel. First time, that's his fault. Second time he gives me a wooden nickel, it's my fault. Because I already know he gave me a wooden nickel one time already. You might cheat me once, but you're not going to get me twice. Not too easily. Abraham looks at all this land. Do you know what people do? They fight wars over land. They go to court and split families over land. But Abraham said, take a look. God told him it was all his. God's already told him, it's all his. Do you believe God? He said, Lot, take your pick. And Lot picked the very best. He didn't say, Father Abraham, I love you. You blessed me. You have the best choice. Why don't you take your choice? Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? Wouldn't that have been the gracious thing for Lot to do? To say, man, I've been blessed just by being with you. But see, Lot's too stupid. He's not really spiritual. I believe Lot's saved. I believe we're going to see him in heaven. But he's not very spiritual. He's not very smart. Instead of turning it around and say, Abraham, you pick. He picks the best for himself. And you know where Lot ends up? Living in a cave with nothing. You know where Abraham ends up? Rich, 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 rich. Blessed of God. Can you by faith let somebody else seem to get the best? Give them the best. You know, we have a real problem. I know it may not fit right here. But I do think it's a crying shame that this country's Christians spend more on gifts at Christmas time than they do for missions. You ought to be ashamed. If it is Jesus' birthday, I don't believe it is, but if you believe it is, that's fine with me. I don't have a problem. If it is, where's Jesus present? What are you doing exchanging gifts? Amen. Where's Jesus present? Amen. Most of the people in this room do not even tithe. Ooh, it's getting quiet. Ooh, it's getting quiet. You love your money so much, you want to keep it all for yourself. And you don't have enough faith to invest in eternity. Let me tell you, when Howard Hughes died, you know how much he left? He left it all. He didn't take 1 cent with him. When old Howard Hughes finally kicked the bucket, and they dropped him in a hole somewhere, you want to know something? He didn't take a dime. And you're not going to take anything with you either. The only thing you can get in heaven is what you give while you're here ahead of time, what you have in your hand. The reason why sometimes missionaries go without what they ought to have, and pastors and churches go without what they ought to have, and evangelism is cut back, is because you're looking at that green spot and saying, I want it all for me. You don't have enough faith to trust God and to give God. You ought to learn to invest. Amen. In eternity. I invest in the stock market's fine. If you already tithe, or if you're giving like some people 20% of their income or even more of their income, I think the more they make, the more you ought to give, then I don't care what you buy with the rest of it. But if you have such a selfishness and such a covetousness, and this is a time of year which is, it is no burden to help them when they're in trouble. I'm giving to me, they're mine. Don't call that giving to God. It's not. Abraham said, take your pick. And Lot took his pick. He got the best of everything, and then he lost everything. Abraham went on a very rich man. Can you trust God when the decision time comes? Look at chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What was Abraham's fear? They will kill me for my beautiful wife. That was his fear. They will kill me for my beautiful wife. He was afraid. He didn't want to die. He wanted to live. He had such a beautiful woman. Two kings brought her into the house to become part of the harem. He knew she was beautiful. There were no laws in the land. I want your wife. I say, bang, bang, and take her. She has long hair. She doesn't have short hair. That's good just to grab and caveman style, haul her off. She'll get used to it after a while and be happy. Or else she'll be sad. He knew that was the kind of place he lived in. If you didn't have enough servants to protect yourself, you couldn't keep what you had. There were no international laws. The guy is king as long as he's strong enough to be king. And bless your heart, when he gets weak, somebody will take everything he's got. He was afraid. And what did God come to him and tell him? Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. Can you trust God as your shield? Now, I don't know that God's going to protect you from everything that comes your way. There's some things we do not understand. Something's going to happen to you in your life you will never understand. Some of them can turn you so bitter, you can be bitter against your family, you can be bitter against God, you can be bitter against life. But that doesn't help you. And by faith you trust God. He said, Abram, fear not, I am thy shield. But he didn't finish there. He's talking to a very rich man. This guy has riches beyond what most of the rich men of the day. You'd have to get into the range of Gates and Perot and others like that to come anywhere close to Abraham. This guy's a rich man. You don't keep 318 trained soldiers around unless you got enough money to pay them. I can't even keep one servant. I'd like to have one. Even a wife that was a servant would be nice. Woo! We having fun yet? I almost always do. It's been one of the problems of my life. I am thy shield, and notice what it said, thy exceeding great reward. Abraham, all those riches I've given you, all those cattle, all those herds, all those servants, all those soldiers, they're nothing. They're next to nothing. And that's what most of you are running for. Oh, I want to work to get a servant. Oh, I want to work to get another car. I want to work to get 200 horses. I want to get a motorcycle. I want to get a boat. I want to get a gun. I want to. He's talking to a very rich man. He could have anything he wanted in his day. And he said, Abram, I am thy exceeding great reward. How about God being your reward? How about your lot, God? Is that enough for you? Not enough for some of us. It ought to be. See, if you realized what it was, it would be enough. If you just by faith could take a few passages from this Bible and say, God is my exceeding great reward. The lot of my life God has blessed me with is Himself. Amen. You know what that is? There's nothing in this world to compare. And if you're a born again child of God today, that's where you are. He is your lot in life. He's your lot in life. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I'm bigger and better to you than all your servants. I'm bigger and better to you than all your wives. I'm bigger and better to you than all your gold. I'm bigger and better to you than all your herds. That's how big I am. Look at verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. And he, that's the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. Do you know what that verse says? That said salvation and righteousness comes by faith. By believing, not by works. By believing, not by works. Abraham believed. Can you just believe? If you could just believe that he, my Christian friend, if you could just believe some of the promises in this book, what it would do for you? It would free you. It would deliver you. It would bring you joy every day that you walked in your life. You know why you don't trust God? You don't know enough about Him. Amen. All of my life, I've been preaching 43 years. All of my life, I've been learning about God. Year after year, I come back and say, yeah, you know, I can trust God with that. I don't know how many times it's looked like, man, everything's ashes. It's ashes, it's ashes. I don't know how many times the kids have been sorely sick. We've been sorely tested. I don't know how many times we didn't have enough money to do hardly anything with. Barely. I'm working 3 jobs. My wife's taking care of 5 kids. God, is this what you want for me? Yeah, that's what I want for you, son. I remember one time I was so discouraged. I raised my hands in the air and I hit my desk with both hands and said, I don't have to put up. And a little voice in the back of my head said, oh, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you do. Why? I couldn't understand. I don't understand now. Except I trust God was doing a work in my life. God was working on my mind. God was working on my faith. How much richer can you get than to have faith? Faith is better than money. Faith is better than a bank account. Faith is better than health. Faith is better than success. Faith's a whole lot better than fame. He believed in the Lord. Do you believe in the Lord? Can you trust the Lord? Can you trust the Lord to go where He wants you to go? Can you trust the Lord to put Him first? Put Him first whether it's money. Put Him first whether it's time. Put Him first whether it's family. Put Him first.
Get on your face before God and submit to Him and believe Him and trust Him. God will change your life.
Then look in chapter 18, verse 25. Lot is down in Sodom. Lot is like a governor, a mayor, a councilman of Sodom. Lot is moved up in Sodom. This is a place of a bunch of queers. Sodomites, what the Bible calls them. And I know they're an approved lifestyle in America today, but they're not approved by God. It's still sin. Lot's gone down there and compromised with them. Lot's gone down there and prospered with them. Lot's gone down there and been accepted by them. And he's in the gates of the city down there and recognized. And Abraham's praying for him because God has come by and said, Abram, this is what I'm going to do to Sodom. I'm going to destroy it with fire. I'm going to wipe that place off the earth after I find out if the sin that's supposedly there is there. This is what I'm going to do to Sodom. And Abraham begins to pray. You know why he's praying? He's still got that nephew he loves. And his daughters and his wife that he loves. They're down in Sodom. And God's going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham begins to pray. And he prays, oh God. Look what he says in verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That is such a tremendous statement that at one time in my life as a young preacher, I rebuilt my faith on that, those words right there. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You have to take that by faith. When you see a little afflicted baby, you say, God's wrong. When you see somebody raped, God's wrong. Somebody murdered, God's wrong. You see some ugly parents burning their babies with cigarettes. You say, God's got to be wrong. Got to be God's fault. God's wrong. You can't just look at the world and say, God is good. There's too much wickedness in this world. And there are plenty of people out there that can say, God is bad. Look at all these things. Look at wars. Look at death. Look at suffering. Look at crying and tears and heartaches and loneliness. By faith, Abraham tells God, this is what I believe about you. You're the judge of all the earth, and you're going to do what's right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That takes faith. You don't get that by experience. You can't give me enough experience to say, God did right when He let this happen, and let that happen. That takes faith. Abraham was a man of faith and great faith, and he looked at God and said, God, I know You will do right, and whatever comes, I will trust You do right. It's the only way to live. I've sat in home after home and cried with people going through tremendous suffering and pain. I've seen young families lose their father. I've seen young families lose their mother. I've seen divorce split up and tear and rack things apart. I've seen robbers shoot somebody because they didn't have $25. I've been in hospital rooms where a man has been shot multiple times. Can I prove God does right? No. But I believe God is going to make everything right. This is not the end. If you're thinking this life, this experience, this time is all there is to it, you're greatly mistaken. This is not the end. God is not just preparing you to have a good life here. You may have some bad things down here, but if you walk by faith, let me tell you something. There is a million years to come. When I walk by the bed of a Christian that's dying, I don't have a problem saying, Lord, take them on to Yourself. Ease their suffering. I don't have a problem. Because I believe that every person who's trusted Christ, the minute they leave that body, step into the presence of Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. You're better off. You're better off. Now, I'm not trying to get killed today just so I can go to heaven and not have to put up with you anymore. I'm enjoying life. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy witnessing. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy winning souls. I enjoy talking to people. I also enjoy fishing and hunting and shooting and a lot of other things too. But you don't catch me fishing on Sunday. You don't catch me hunting on Sunday.
You don't catch me staying home to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday night. You don't catch me putting a TV up in the church on Sunday night to watch the Super Bowl. You got to get your priorities right. Get God first. Put God first. Put things right. God meant for you to enjoy this life. He didn't mean for you to be a monk. Monks are the most unspiritual things there can possibly be. You get yourself off into some little place and just meet with others like you. That's not the Bible. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Monks don't do that. And these people that pull themselves off in these communes, they don't do that. God meant for you to live this life. He meant for you to enjoy this life. He meant for you to the best of this life. He meant for you to work in this life. And He meant for you to serve Him in this life. And while you're doing it, it's going to rain on the good and the bad. Storms are going to come on the good and the bad. And when they come on you, you just lift your eyes up and say, I know the judge of all the earth will do right. And when it all comes down to the end, I'm going to say he did right. Abraham was a man of faith. Let me ask you something today. Do you believe? Most everybody says, yeah, I believe. What do you believe? You know, that might be another question. Amen. What is it you believe? If you're a Christian here today, do you believe God wants your devotion? Won't you give it to Him? Do you believe God wants you to put Him first? Why don't you put Him first? It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to do that. Do you believe that when you put God first, He will bless you for it? Then why don't you put God first? What are you holding back for? Why are you reserving yourself back? No, I'm going to make my own way. No, I'm going to make my own decisions. No, I'm afraid they'll kill me for my wife. Sounds like old Abraham when he's having a bad day. No, no, no. God said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And he said he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. My Christian friend, I'm afraid many times our faith is very weak. Our faith is very small. And we prove it by what we do and the way we live and how much we trust God. You're here today and maybe you've never been saved. And man, you're just talking about this old man. And you've been talking to all those Christians. You haven't been talking to me. Well, let me talk to you. You know what's going to happen in this life? You're going to die. Yeah, you're going to get sick. You're going to suffer. You're going to have a lot of heartaches. And you're going to die. And the problem with that is, dying is not the end. If dying would be the end, I'd be with you. Hey, let's just go, no big deal. Live as long as you want to live. When you get tired of living, you end the whole thing and don't worry about it. But dying's not the end. There's a heaven and a hell and an eternity out there. A heaven and a hell and an eternity. And you will spend an eternity in one or the other of those two places. It will not be based on how good you were. I'll guarantee it. Take a look at Abraham. It will not be based on what church you belong to. That's not going to determine which way you go. It'll not be based on whether you live by the Ten Commandments or the Golden Rule, even by Jesus. That's not what determines it. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that died in your place for your sins, you will die in your sins and you'll go to hell. I wish I didn't have to preach that. I don't particularly like it. But I'm committed to truth. And I believe this is truth. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and you believe it enough to trust Him, ask Him to save you. Trust Him to save you. He'll save you, just like that. He says it's too simple. God made it simple so you could understand it. If He'd have made it real complicated, but just a few of the brilliant ones could understand it, and there wouldn't be anybody in this room. God made it simple. He didn't put a bunch of formulas out there. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What do you believe? You believe that Jesus is who he said he was. You believe that he died in your place on the cross of Calvary. He paid your debt. And take him for that. 43 years ago, I was a 21-year-old in Roswell, New Mexico. in the Air Force, fueling planes, all kinds of planes. I didn't know much about this Bible. I'd spent very little time reading it. I had Christian parents. I'd went to Sunday school when I was a kid, paid as little attention as I could. But you know what I'd been taught? There's a God in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. He loved sinners, and He died for sinners. And if sinners repent of their sins and trust Him and call upon Him, He'll have mercy. That's about all I knew. And I date my birth, spiritual, September 1st, 1957, in the front bedroom of a trailer house. I just called on God. You say, I've heard that story before. Yeah, but it's still my story. That's where my life got changed. I wasn't in a church. I didn't have a preacher by me. I was by myself talking to God. And I confessed my sins. Lord, I'm a sinner. If anybody deserves hell, I deserve hell. I admit it. But I want mercy. Have mercy upon me. And you know, God changed my life that day. I have never been the same. Oh, you can still see I tease my wife. I'm mean. I can pull some terrible stunts sometimes. My foolish jesting, which is not convenient. I can even make a mistake of somebody I've known for years. Don't feel too bad. I sometimes call my kids by the wrong names. But I got saved. And I got changed. And I got a new master. He changed my life and He gave me peace in my heart. I recommend Him to you. Oh, my friend, don't go through life and miss Jesus. Don't come into a gospel auditorium and hear the gospel preached and hear about the love of God and Christ dying for your sins and walk out those doors lost. Lost. Terrible, terrible words. Lost. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. I've enjoyed the last year and a half of my life. I had some bad years where I was very weak and sick and thought I was through. But the last year and a half, God's given me some strength. And I'm doing some things I didn't think I'd ever do again. But I don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. I don't know about what I'm going to get in the car and go out here and some old boy that's drunk in a Mack truck, going to 18-wheeler loaded to the hilt, going to wipe me out in my little old Buick. But you know, this might be the last sermon you ever hear. Maybe the last invitation you're ever given. Don't laugh at it. Don't mock it. I'm just a representative, a very poor one, I will admit, but I am a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I plead with you in His stead, come to Jesus and let Him save your soul today. We're going to come stand and sing in just a second, 249. When that time comes, if God has spoken to your heart, I can't touch you in here, but the Holy Spirit can. If God has spoken to your heart, and you know you need to be saved, get on your feet, get into that aisle, and get down here. Take my hand and say, I want to be saved. I'll get someone here. If you're a lady, I'll get a lady. I'll have one of my daughters, somebody come here, and one of the other ladies that knows how to lead, they'll help you. You can pray your way through today. 249, this invitation is open. Just as you are, would you come to Him today? Let Him have His way.